Good morning, everyone.
And good morning.
A very warm welcome to our service of worship this morning, whether you're here in person, whether you're listening to the service online at a later date, and particularly if you are a visitor, in which case please do introduce yourself to us after the service. And let us not forget our friends in the other churches of the Old Town Partnership and our good friends in Highworth. We're delighted this morning to have the Reverend Andrew Francis here to take our service together with his wife Janice. You're most welcome here. Well, we hope you'll feel most welcome here, but you are most welcome here. I don't think I have any special notices to announce, unless anyone says otherwise, in which case I will now light the Christ candle and the peace candle, and we will have a few seconds pause as we prepare to begin our worship.
To God on high be glory, and peace on earth to men. Happy Christmas. Good morning to you all. You can't have faded that quick. Let's try again. Good morning. Thank you very much. It's a joy for Janice and I to be with you on this Sunday betwixt Christmas and New Year. Betwixt Christmas and Epiphany. For this is the Christmas season, and we come with the Christmas candles lit. We come maybe full of too much, but are we full of praise? For God surprises earth with heaven, coming here on Christmas Day. For Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. For we have come this day to worship our God, to come to know the child of Bethlehem, the Saviour of the world. And we come to sing in praise. All our hymns today are from Rejoice and Sing, the Blue Book, number 178. Who would think that what was needed to transform and save the earth might not be a plan or army, proud in purpose, proved in worth? If you're able, please stand and let us sing hymn 178. For reasons I'll explain later in our worship, we're not going to use the Lord's Prayer after this opening set of prayers, but we shall use it later on after our prayers of intercession. So please don't be surprised whether you're at home enjoying and sharing in our worship or whether you're here in this beautiful sanctuary and place of prayer. So let us pray together. Eternal and ever-living God, Alpha and Omega, we come to worship you. We come on this special day, in this time after Christmas, celebrating your birth as the child of Bethlehem, but you come as Saviour of the world. And we join the creatures of the field, the wise men from afar, the shepherds from the hills, and Mary and Joseph in adoration. for we come to bring our praise. For you are the God who has surprised earth with heaven, coming here on Christmas Day. And we thank you that you have called us together to offer our prayers and our praises, our thanksgiving, our confessions. We come to rediscover your hand and call upon our lives. We come as people in need of your salvation. We come as people in need of your Spirit to change and transform. So, Lord God, as we come in this season of plenty in this nation for so many of us, we bring our words of thanksgiving for the times that we have shared with others over these past few days, whether in worship or in our homes, in the shops or in other places, where people's moods and joy seems to have been transformed by this Christmas season. We come in thanksgiving for the food that has blessed our tables, for the ability to share, whether it's a meal or a mince pie. We come in thanksgiving for the memories we hold of family and friends. We come in thanksgiving that you have blessed us with days of peace, with days of joy, with days of things that we can do, recall, reflect, and realize you are calling us forward. But as we recognize those things, Lord God, we are so often aware that we fall short of your grace. We fall short of what you call us to do and to be. So we confess those things that are wrong in our lives, the hard words that we have spoken, the relationships that we have hurt, the thoughts that are not worthy of you. And we confess those things that are wrong. So touch our hearts with your grace, your truth, your purpose, your Spirit of renewal, and make us new, so we can look afresh upon your greatness and your glory, and realize that you have come in our human frailty and weakness to lead us in the path of your light, your hope, and your salvation. So we come, bringing you our prayers, bringing you ourselves. So fashion us, make us new in your image, for we ask all these things in your holy name. Amen. It's rather wonderful when Christmas Day falls in the middle of a week, because then we seem to get this Sunday afterwards when we can have a little more reflection than sometimes when it's rushed and it has become St. Stephen's Day or Boxing Day, or it seems a long time since Christmas and we're almost at Epiphany but not quite. But this week the URC has been very wise in its use of the set lectionary readings for the free church communities across these islands, in choosing the theme of asking us about what child is this? What does it mean to share in the incarnation of those who have gone before? Those holy people, those who have become examples to us from our own childhood and youth. But it asks us questions, and I shall say more about our readings briefly after we've sung our next hymn, which is number 170 in the blue hymn books, "What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthem sweet while shepherds watch are keeping." If we're able, let's stand and sing number 170. Comes forward, let me share with you what we're going to be doing over this next few moments. In a minute, Don's going to read for us a reading that most of you will be very familiar with, about a child who was a gift of God and was raised for God's purpose and always had his focus upon God. I'm not talking about Jesus, I'm talking about the young boy Samuel. And we're going to hear just a very small snapshot of that in a moment. And then while you reflect on that, I'm so grateful to the choir because they're going to sing our anthem for us. And thank you all for being here in such number on the Sunday after Christmas. That really is a joy to have you both here and the introit in the anthem. And the anthem is going to be "King Jesus Hath a Garden Full of Diverse Flowers." You'll have to wait for that. The beauty of that. And then Don's going to read to us again a short piece from Luke's Gospel. But it's not maybe what you'd expect on the Sunday after Christmas. And you're going to have to wait for that one as well. Okay, you ready? Let's join that roller coaster as Don brings our first reading.
Thank you. Our first reading then from the first book of Samuel, Chapter 2, you'll find this on page 254 in the Pew Bibles, if you wish to follow the reading. So 1 Samuel, chapter 2, verses 18 to 20, and then verse 26. Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy wearing a linen ephod. His mother used to make for him a little robe and take it to him each year when she went up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Then Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, "May the Lord repay you with children by this woman for the gift that she made to the Lord." And then they would return to their home. Now the boy Samuel continued to grow, both in stature and in favor with the Lord and with the people. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Right, if you wish to follow the New Testament reading, you'll find it on page 57 in the New Testament section of the Pew Bibles. Reading from St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, starting at verse 41. Now, every year, his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travellers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years, and in divine and human favour. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. John, thank you. What child is this? So what can I give him? When you were 12 or a bit younger, where were you on the pitch with God? Were you simply a bystander, a spectator? Were you an active player? Don't worry, I'm not going to ask you to even tell anybody what you're thinking. Don and I have something very much in common, that we were both children, the sons of eminent ministers of our own denominations. And when I was 12, my father moved to become principal of the Churches of Christ Theological College in Surrey Oak in Birmingham. It was the only college we had because we were the smallest of the URC's parents as the Churches of Christ, alongside the PC of E, the Presbyterian Church of England, and the Congregational Church of England and Wales. It was an enormous privilege, although I'm not sure I was aware of it at the time, because my dad always seemed to be in seminars or lectures when I came home from school, and if I wanted to see him, I had to book an appointment with his secretary over a fortnight before. I saw him over college dinner, but he was normally preoccupied with the guests who sat at the family table. But it was a great time, because that college, and when we went there, it was 1968. Let me just tell you, I'm 68. Don't work out the maths. Don't get distracted. The important thing was that that college hosted the final residential talks of the Presbyterian Church and the Congregational Church to become the United Reformed Church. And I had the amazing privilege of waiting on tables on these people who were the great and the good, including Don's dad, who was always very kind and used to talk about his own children. Don't worry, I'm not going to say any more. But people like Philip Morgan, the great ecumenist who started the ecumenical instruments that we now have across these islands. People like David Thompson, the former URC national moderator, who is probably one of the two senior free church academics in these islands, were all sharing with Dad in moderating those talks. My dad was quite happy to disappear down the rabbit hole of theological education, including trying to teach one of your former ministers, Michael Hodgson. Michael, when Dad died, rang me up. I know Michael, I've known him for years. But he was so effusive about Dad and Dad's gifts that I thought, are you talking about the same guy, aren't you? But you see, when we're 12, we don't quite get it right, always. When we're growing up in the faith, we have to try. And it sets something about the way we grow in stature afterwards. And that's what this morning's readings are about. And I have always found it difficult when I sort of look at the historic creeds of the church, or the URC's statement of nature, faith and order. These statements that are so important to us to get our doctrine right, to get our understanding of church right. That it says so little about Jesus apart from being born, and then suddenly he suffered and was tortured and died. But what about the bit in between? At Christmas, we so talk about the incarnation of how God becomes man in Jesus and dwells among us. Yet we talk so little about the humanity of Jesus in the creeds. We don't talk about his life and his teaching, how he was a son. We don't talk about his healing ministry in those historic creeds. And for me, I'd love there to be more creeds that gave expression to that. When one of my ministries sent me to Rio de Janeiro and working in the favelas of that particular town, it seemed to me that some of those people knew far more when we said some of the creeds which talked about the living Jesus among us, the Jesus who healed our neighbours. Now, my Spanish isn't good enough to translate the stuff I still have from them. But it seems to me we have to ask, what is it about how we grow up in faith? Whether we join the faith because our families were always there, or whether we come into faith because of Billy Graham and one of his crusades. I wasn't even born for 1954 at Haringey, but I was part of Mission England and had the great pleasure to meet Dr. Graham then. Or whether we just come to faith because of somebody's quiet, patient witness who brings us, after the loss of a parent or a spouse, into a loving Christian community, so that they come along and have coffee on Tuesdays. Sound familiar in this place? But let me not get too diverted. Let me tell you a bit about Samuel, then Jesus, and then ask you questions about you and me. The story of Samuel begins right at the beginning of 1 Samuel. And of course, Samuel is a gift from God. And Hannah dedicates him as her firstborn to God's service. So he becomes a child in the temple. Now you can read that in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 18 onward. Right? I've made it easy for you because 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 18. Remember, you've only got to remember verse 18 and start 1 Samuel and keep going back to it. Samuel is ministering in the temple. His life is being set for him. He is becoming a servant there of Eli, the old man, the old priest. Yet every year, his father Elkanah and his mother Hannah make the pilgrimage. And Hannah, as the dutiful mother, makes him a new robe. And you can imagine this. Now, some of you only see your sons maybe at Christmas time. I have a friend whose mother lives up at the north of Scotland in a place called Sutherland. And he only sees his mother once a year, and she buys him a shirt. And she buys it mail order from her company round the corner from where he lives in London. But he has his annual shirt from his mum, and that's really the story we have about Samuel here. that his mum brings him this precious gift. And he wears it with his ephod. Now, ephods are a part of Hebrew liturgical dress. They are a form of apron. And they have a variety of straps and ribbons because you wear them when you're sacrificing animals so you don't get the bits and pieces all over you. Don't worry, I'm not going to be any more graphic than that because you might have Sunday lunch coming up, despite Jeff's injunction that there may have been too much Christmas pud already. But you see, what we have is this dutiful mother bringing her son this gift so he can continue. But God rewards Hannah. She has 3 more sons and 2 daughters. But I often wonder about Hannah's sacrifice as a mother. What a mother thinks about this son who she has given to God. Now, it's not since my grandparents' generation that everybody relies on the Lord for their family planning. Some of us have been a little more sort of circumspect over the years, maybe. But I'm not going to talk about that, because there may be people under 18 here this morning. But it does seem to me that the story of Samuel is one that we need to compare, and that's where the URC's wisdom has come in setting these 2 particular pieces of narrative together. And then that surprising narrative from Luke chapter 2 about Jesus, a story that some of us will have known from Sunday school days, where Jesus stayed behind. The great pilgrimage had been taken up to Jerusalem, and he stayed behind. And it was only when his parents had got a day on the journey back, that they suddenly realized he wasn't there. Now people say, how could that happen? How could you miss your child? Well, it's very easy. For those of us who used to go to the Presbyterian Church assemblies or the Church of Christ conferences or the May conferences of the Congregationalists, we'll know it was like being in a giant family. And you sort of disappeared as a kid into the ether with all your mates, and you were doing all kinds of things. And you're up on the balcony, sort of trying not to laugh at the boring speakers and things like that. But your parents hardly saw you for those few days because you were away doing things. And when it came time to come home, they knew you would come home with somebody. I remember my dad getting very cross that I wasn't ready to come home from Swanwick in Derbyshire one time. And he said, if you're not in the car in 10 minutes, I'm driving off without you. So he did. I had to think, how much had I got about 2 and 6 in my pocket at the time. And I thought, that's not going to make this home. So I went to see Philip Morgan. And I said, Uncle Philip, you see, family friend, Uncle Philip, I need to go home. And he said, I saw your dad drive off. He said, you better sit in our car. Well, my dad sort of trusted that somebody from Birmingham would get me back to Birmingham, and they did. But you see, for Mary and Joseph, no, it was trek back to Jerusalem and find Jesus. And then find, what are you doing? You see, after these days, his parents found him in the temple. And Jesus said this to them. Why were you searching for me? He asked. Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? Well, I certainly wasn't in my father's house. I was in Philip Morgan's car. I'm certainly not Jesus. Although I may have been questioning somebody who was older, wiser, and a great spiritual mentor over the years. Sometimes as children, we get glimpses into the insights of what God is calling us to give and to be. And that's what we still have to do. And those of us who've been parents and tried to bring our children up in the faith sometimes can look back and think, did we get it right? On Wednesday of this past week, it didn't feel much like Christmas Day at first because I drove up to Wolverhampton to see my mum in a respite care home. She's 96 now, and I wasn't allowed to go in before they'd all had Christmas lunch. So when they'd had Christmas lunch, they opened the front door and several of us got signed in, and in we went. And I said to Mum, "What have you been doing all morning?" And she said, "I've been thinking about what you and Sally were like." Sally is my sister, as children, and then as young people. I thought, uh-oh, lecture coming up. And I'm nearly 70, Mum. Come on. Well, I got it. It happened. You see, I used to think my teenage years were filled with some lovely women and fast cars. I think as far as my mother was concerned, they were all fast cars and fast women. But, you see, I don't think she thought I had a very holy life then. But she's been a bit happier as the years have gone by. And I became a minister and ultimately met Janice. And we now share so much and the direction of where we believe God is taking us. You see, parents, as parents, we have to do our best to nurture. But it's not always going to work very easily. But I would suggest to those of you who struggle, like I struggle with my two oldest, that it's their values of justice, their values for peacemaking, their values for an equitable society, their respect for those who want to follow faith and be in church Sunday by Sunday. Those are the beginnings of the marks of their holiness. And I may never live to see that come good, or as good as I would like it to be. But I'm not the one who has to judge in the end. I am the parent who has to be a bit like Hannah and let my child go and let God do the transforming work. You see, because my first question for you and you and me is, what child is this? Our children are the gift of God. We have them but a short time in our lives. Sometimes they go off to university or college or to work in another town, and we may hardly see them except to give them that annual shirt. But you see, what kind of child of God are you? Are you somebody who can let go and make the sacrifice? Are you somebody who can do those things? Or for that matter, at 6 o'clock this morning when I was rereading through this script, I thought, am I that kind of person? Because you're a child of God throughout all your earthly life. For that's what Scripture attests. We are made heirs and sons. Well, that's a sexist translation. It's better to say we are made the children of God. So what kind of child of God are you? On this Sunday after Christmas, when we've celebrated the coming of the Bethlehem child, we have to ask, what are we giving of ourselves? And that's not a goad to make you feel guilty that you should be doing a whole lot more. If you should be, talk about it with your elder and make sure you are not doing too much. It is better to do a few good things for God than too many things poorly. I think the carol that I have loved all my life has been Christina Rossetti's. Wonderful words, which end, "What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what I can, I give him. I give my heart." I remember sitting in the chapel of Overdale College and listening to the wonderful oratory of a man called Arthur MacArthur, Bond's father. And I knew my dad could speak like that. I knew Philip, Uncle Philip, could speak like that. And I realised that they were showing me a pathway to speak about the God in whom I had so many questions. But my job when I was 15 and first challenged to join the Church of Christ Birmingham youth preaching team was to say yes. Not to say, no, I can't do that, I'm too busy. I want to go out with this person or want to go and play with somebody else's fast car. We have to look at ourselves and look what we can do. As we sit on the cusp of 2025, what are your resolutions for God as God's child now? What are you prepared to give of yourself? If you're not certain what you should offer, let me suggest, not like the Archbishop of York, but that you go back to the Bethlehem story and see the simplicity of an unmarried mother and the child of heaven. And you see how the world is commanded, from the creatures of the natural world to the wise men and sages from afar, to the lowliest working class people, and that's what shepherds were, all drawn to this child who is the saviour of the world. Go back to Bethlehem. Maybe your prayer, my prayer, needs to be, let the Spirit carry you back to Bethlehem and see how God appears to our humanity, and let our humanity respond. What child is this? What child are you? What can you give him? The answer is in your hands and hearts. Amen. We shall use the Lord's Prayer at the end of Janus's Prayers of Intercession, which will follow our next hymn, because it seems to me that the Lord's Prayer is a manifesto of what we're asking God to help us with in our daily walk with him. It's also what we are prepared to do. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those. But that begins with us forgiving first. Give us our daily bread. You get the picture. It's a manifesto. But it begins with us asking the question, what can I give him? And so we're going to sing Christina Rossetti's words now. Hymn number 162. In the bleak midwinter, frosty wind made moan, earth stood hard as iron, water like a stone. If you're able, please stand to sing number 162.
Thank you. Let us pray together. Holy Lord God, creator of all the heavens and the earth, the source, ground, and destiny of our being, we thank you for the gift of faith. And so, as we lift our hearts in gratitude for the love and fellowship you have given us through Christ our Lord, we pray for this world, your creation, and your people. We pray in sorrow for all the nations that are at war this day, praying in the name of the Holy Spirit to enable continued strength and guidance to all those who are providing humanitarian aid, those looking for paths of peace and resolution, for all those providing clothing, medicines and food, and in every simple act of kindness and comfort to those who have lost so much. We pray for all the lands of this world that are suffering the effects of climate change, including our own nation. Reports of extreme temperatures causing failing crops and destitution for so many. So we pray for your continued strength in every initiative that is made to reverse this devastation, so there will be enough food for everyone. Gracious and loving God, forgive us for the times when we have allowed discrimination, anger, and unkindness to become a barrier to you. Empower us by the example shown through Jesus that we may be of one with all peoples, either in our own neighbourhoods or in lands beyond our horizons. We acknowledge your commandment to love our neighbour as we love ourselves. So let us then look on with kindness, compassion and love on all peoples, in all nations and on all creation. Here in this place, we pray for the mission and ministry of all that we do, enabling us to come together as church family and in our outreach across this neighbourhood. Let your love be shown through us as we speak and own your name. Heavenly Father, we lift up to you all those of our church family who are in need of your comfort and care at this time. Ooh, with the white piece of paper, our church family who are needing your comfort and care at this time. Myra Hartsthorne, Jean Batten, Lynn Hind, Pat Montier, Mo Davey, Michael and Hazel Doling, Warleen Inglis, Malcolm Strange, Margaret Williams. We also bring to you those of our family and friends who we know are suffering with ill health, vulnerability, and sadness this day. We bring to you those who are grieving the loss of loved ones, whether recently or not so recently. In the silence, let us bring all these people to the Lord. Loving Father God, let your love surround all these that we hold in our hearts and give them your peace. We pray that you would reach out your hand of protection to our families, friends and neighbours and keep them safe within your divine love. Holy Lord God, help us to deepen our faith and grow in our love for one another and for all peoples, and to encourage one another in faith. Fill us with hope and perseverance as we seek to walk in your ways through our lives and actions. We each come before you seeking your strength for the living of these coming days. And we thank you that you have met with us this day, enabling us to understand more of your wisdom, truth, and grace. Transform us to know your presence within us is constant and sure, that we can turn within, listen to your voice deep within our souls, and be surrounded by your light and love. Lord, graciously accept these prayers as we join together with the words that you gave us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. As our intercessions have reminded us, we all have gifts to bring, and I do want to thank those who have enabled our worship to flow this morning. For Mike doing the sound at the back there, we often forget the people who do all these technical bits. For Jeff and the choir, so grateful to them. For those people who briefed me about what you wanted. For Don for reading. For all of you who are being here and raising your voices and smiling at each other. So important. Each of us brings our gifts, but we're now going to have the chance to take up our offering. Give thanks to God. Gracious God, for the many gifts that we can share in this, your community of faith that gathers in your holy name, we come bringing these gifts of money, the sustaining thing for our everyday lives, in commerce, in our shopping, in our gifts to one another. But we bring of ourselves. We pray that you will use us as you use these gifts, that we may be sent out to live and work to your praise and glory. So we come in the name of the living Jesus and say the words of the grace to one another as we bind ourselves together as one people. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Evermore. Amen. We're going to take this hymn and take us out into the streets and maybe take us back metaphorically to Bethlehem. Our closing hymn today is number 151. See him lying on a bed of straw, drafty stable with an open door, Mary cradling the child she bore, the Prince of Glory in his name is his name. Let's stand to sing if we're able. Number 151.
Lying on a bed of straw, from his stable with an open door, Mary prayed and heard a child she bore, Prince of Glory is his name. Oh, the Mary is a Bethlehem, to see the Lord and love again, just the Lord and the stable man, Prince of Glory with his name.
Now may the blessing of the one God, the Creator of all, the Saviour who came at Bethlehem, and the Spirit that empowers our living, be with us all this day and evermore. Amen.